And welcome back. We are talking with the Snowbirds, making their triumphant return to AirVenture after a 33-year absence, and looking forward to their show and demonstration this weekend. Tell us a little bit about the airplane you fly. We had the Thunderbirds here a couple of years ago, obviously, the big noisy jets. These are a little smaller, but they look very much more graceful.
Well, we fly a Canadian-made Canadair CL-41. The military designation is a CT-114 Tudor. That airplane was used for 40, 45 years as that's Canada's primary trainer. So every military pilot in Canada learned how to fly in the Tudor up until the year 2000, from mid-60s until 2000. It is a little jet, weighs about 9,000 pounds with fuel and everything, and it produces 2,700 pounds of thrust. So it's not much thrust, but we use that to our advantage. We're not very fast. Our demo ranges from about 110 knots at the top of a loop to about 300, 320 knots in the rejoins. But we use that to our advantage in that it allows me to keep the nine plane relatively close to the crowd when we're maneuvering as a nine plane. And Carney as lead solo, it allows him to keep his solo reversals really close to the crowd. And that's what we take pride in. When we get into the integrated portion of our show, so our show is kind of broken down into three sections, for lack of a better word. We start off as the opener, all nine airplanes. It's about 7 minutes. We finish the opener with a split. And then now we have kind of airplanes all over the place where there's something in front of the crowd at all times. We try to strive for about 8 seconds maximum from smoke off from the previous act that's in front of the crowd to the next act coming in. That'll last about 20 minutes, and then we get the whole formation together for another 5 minute closure at the very end. What the Tudor lacks in actually works to our advantage in that it allows us to keep the formation really close to the crowd. Not much dead time. Carney as the lead solo, our show ends up being where myself manipulating the seven plane, Carney will himself in the opposing solo will hold the stage and do some incredible things and some nice solo crosses for the crowd to ooh and ah about. And then the seven plane will come in and do another maneuver that the crowd can ooh and ah about. So it's basically myself and him through comms and through the routine. We integrate to make sure that the timings work so that we can do the best that we can to keep that 8 second of dead time.
Right. And each of the teams at your leadership, you can kind of customize the routine to suit your pilots, try some new things out. So you kind of put your own stamp on it.
Absolutely. And, you know, as team lead, I only get to do this for 2 years out of my life. I'm just a small sliver in Snowbird history. In 2 years, I go back to being Yannick Gregoire, and I'm kind of a has-been. So I take that very seriously. And I got to take advantage of these 2 years. I've got a great bunch of guys on the team. The technicians are amazing. And the memories that we will take away with us will last a lifetime. So for me, when I kind of design the routine, I mean, there's only so many things you can do with the airplane, but the Snowbirds with nine airplanes have the luxury where we can come up with many, many formations. We've got a lot of formations in our repertoire. Our show's about 32 minutes long, and there's not even enough time to show all those formations. So you kind of look through the different formations that we can do. I kind of looked in the past, hey, what formations haven't been flown in the last 2, 3, 4 years? And then we sit down at the table, and we kind of go through, hey, what do you guys want to do this year? And as a team, we kind of come up with a routine. And, every routine needs to be approved by the commander, and we sent our maneuvers package to the commander, and luckily it got approved, and we're having a blast flying it this year.
You can be very ambitious with how you want to change the, you know, maneuvers or try some very, very complex specialty maneuvers, but again, you know, you got to consider that, you know, generally speaking, half the team changes out every year, so there's guys that haven't flown at all in the jet potentially, and you know, so they have to learn some of the basics. So there's a training bill associated with trying new things, right? So if you get overly ambitious, you know, you end up maybe getting the 80% solution on complex maneuvers maneuvers, or you can, you know, decide that, okay, we're going to try, you know, five really complicated new things and then leave the rest of them as, you know, the traditional maneuvers so that we can really focus on getting the 100% solution on those. And it's a balancing act with, you know, the time that you have for training and the abilities of the guys, which obviously, you know, even then when I'm training with the solos, like as I'm the lead solo, you train the opposing solo for certain specialty maneuvers, and it's that crawl, walk, run approach. So, you know, it's just as much about learning them to lead the profile consistently as it is for the opposing solo to follow it. So the same thing with 1 through 7, 1 through 9, leading or following the boss.
So in the training process, you mentioned the solos train separate. Do each of the elements train separately and then come back together? Or is it a more integrated approach than that?
No, it's the solos will train together. Okay. So, you know, the opposing solo, it being his first year on the team, needs to work on his core formation skills as well. So our training season is generally built where we'll fly twice a day a formation mission where the 9-plane flies together. And then 2 or 3 times a week, we'll add a third wave to the training day where the solos will go out and practice dedicated solo-type maneuvering. And at the very beginning, the solos are paired up in the same airplane, so Carney will fly a profile, and it's all about profile matching. When they're doing their reversals, if one solo is doing it, flying it differently than the other, it's going to be very hard for Carney to figure out and manage the cross to happen at stage center. So they'll duel up for quite a while, make sure they fly the airplane the same way, and then they'll try new maneuvers, and then eventually Carney will clear the opposing solo to fly the airplane solo, and then now they'll try to do it in two airplanes.
As you mentioned, you've got five-week, what you call them, swings?
Swings.
Swings in your season. That's a lot of shows, and it's a lot of time on the road, a lot of, yeah, you're doing a lot of media, you're doing a lot of, you know, meet and greets. There are many, many things going on with you. How do you keep the, as one of our air bosses calls it, the bubble around the team, so when it is time to perform, you can put all those distractions away, you know, get rid of complacency and really do a precision show? How do you manage that?
Well, the very, very last thing that we do at the end of our briefing before we step to the airplanes is I'll look at everybody in the eyes and I go around the table and I will say, I'm ready. I look at two. He says he's ready. And we'll go across the whole table and we will not go until we're ready. We all know that flying a safe performance is the number one priority. And again, that comes in the selection process. When we select the individuals to be a snowbird, we know that they're able to compartmentalize. You need to be the full package. Like, you need to be able to have fun. You need to be able to be serious. The work hard, play hard kind of approach. And we are pretty, I mean, we love our job. It's great to meet different kinds of people. Here we are in Oshkosh seeing we're all pilots at heart. So, I mean, the eye candy around Oshkosh is amazing. But the bottom line is when it's time to step to the airplane to do that air show, we've briefed for about 45 minutes before we step for the show, and we get into that right mindset. We actually go through all the comms that we're going to be doing during the air show, and the very last thing is we go around the table and we make sure that we're ready.
In addition to that, it's, you know, the legacy of the Snowbirds far precedes, you know, many of our generations, and the fact that this is the 46th year of the team's existence, as the boss alluded to, we're just a small slice of the pie. So everybody that's on the team is highly motivated to be here, and they really want to embrace that. So that whole professionalism piece and what the boss said about compartmentalization, it's important, because that's exactly what delineates guys being able to leave whatever else is happening on the ground, good or bad, you know, and we're focused on the task at hand. It's critical when you're operating at 300 knots, 300 feet, in close proximity, sometimes at 4 feet of wing overlap with these guys, or in the solo's case, heading head-on to each other with 600 knots of closure. There can be nothing else on your mind except what you're doing right then at that moment.
And once the performance is finished, you're not done, right? You debrief immediately after?
Yeah, well, you know, we'll tend to sign autographs before the debrief.
Okay.
The debrief is about an hour long. We have somebody that films our performance from center stage, and once the autographs are done, we'll go back to our briefing room and we'll debrief the domestics, and then we'll hit play on tape and really look at. We fly, like I said, a 32-minute show, and we probably fast forward through about, let's call it, 7 minutes of that. And it needs to be a really disciplined debrief, because there are 11 people, because Snowbirds 10 and 11 narrate the show and they're part of the debrief as well. and we will look at the show and we will pause at every single location and, oh, I was out of place. You know, we've got terms to describe how we're out of position. And we will look at it in a critical eye. And before every mission, we actually give ourselves mission objectives. And then we finish off the debrief with, we sum it up with whether we met our training objectives or not.
Okay. You mentioned autographs. You will be signing autographs after the show today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Where will that take place?
That will happen at the fence line. So we're going to get brought over from where we're parking our airplanes, and I guess they'll announce exactly where it's going to happen. At this moment, I'm not exactly sure, but we're going to be doing fence line autographs, and the narrators will make sure that everybody's aware of where that place will be.
Excellent. And we'll you'll have a chance to meet the Snowbirds up close and personal after their show today, tomorrow, or Sunday. We appreciate you being here and taking time out of your busy schedule, and maybe not so much the busy schedule, but time away from looking at really cool airplanes to spend some time with us this morning on the radio. We do appreciate it, and looking forward to your performances this weekend. Have a great show.
Thanks very much, Steve. Appreciate it.
And that's going to wrap things up for today. This is From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss. This program is brought to you by the Commemorative Air Force. The CAF's mission is education so that generations of Americans will value and support the contributions of military aviation in assuring our nation's freedom. Visit the CAF tent in the southeast corner of the Boeing Centennial Plaza or visit them online at commemorativeairforce.org. Tomorrow is Boeing Day at AirVenture. We'll talk to some representatives from Boeing and also do a little seaplane flying to close out the week on From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss, and you're listening to EIA Radio.